can turn the world on with a smile. You can take a nothing day and suddenly make it all seem worthwhile. What is your girl and you should know it. With each glance and every little movement you show it.
Love is all around.
Don't need to fake it.
You can never tell.
Why don't you take it? You're gonna make it after all. How will you make it on your own? This world is awfully big. Girl, it's time you're all alone. Well, it's time you started living. It's time you let someone else do some giving.
Love is all around.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, and beyond. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Tiptia. I'm 10 years old, and I'm also from Hudson.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love, books we hate, and bookish things.
And that's what we're going to do today. No, Fatia has a poem to share with us today, and I have a book that I read to share and some books that are coming out this month to highlight that I'm excited for that sound really great. I'm excited to hear Fatia's poem, and I think that's maybe a great place to start off. Can you share your poem with us?
Okay, my poem is called October. Autumn leaves of red and gold that crunch beneath your feet, pumpkins on front porches, candy corn and trick-or-treat, tart and tangy cider, apple ripe on the trees, a hint of winter coming on the chilly autumn breeze.
Lovely.
There's like a lot of poems named October, and this one I love so much. It's like of the leaves, and then when people come to your house for trick or treating, it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
And they can get some candy.
Yeah, I love seeing everyone in costumes for that. They left one important thing out, though, about October. Do you know what that is?
I think it might be Halloween.
Isn't your birthday this month? It's October, right?
Yeah.
They didn't put your birthday in the poem. It's so rude.
Yeah, it's like super close. There's like less than 3 weeks until my birthday.
Oh, so exciting.
Very exciting.
They also didn't include the library's Ghostly Gallop event, which is one of my favorite events in the fall. I don't know why they didn't include that in the poem. What were they thinking? But that is a very lovely poem. I was just noticing some of the leaves changing color the other day. You know, it's not like peak leaf peeping time yet, but it was still pretty to see the changing colors. I like that about the fall. Thanks for sharing your poem.
You're welcome.
And so I have a book that I read the other day that I wanted to highlight. So I read a book that's coming out next week, next Tuesday, that I thought was really fun. And it is by Sid Sharp, who wrote a book that I loved that came out, I think, last year. I forget exactly when it came out, but there was a book that came out a year or so ago called The Wolf Suit by Sid Sharp, which is a sort of early reader graphic novel. It's interesting because it's one of those books, which occasionally there are books like this where they have graphic novel elements, but they're not like super paneled. Like I think when I think of graphic novels and comics, I think of panel illustrations. And I feel like this book has sort of a mix of some panels and some just full-on pages of illustration. But, you know, they have like the little talk bubbles and or talking cloud things. What are those called? You know what I mean? But so the wolf suit is based on the idea of a wolf in sheep's clothing, that idiom. And the main character is a sheep who has run out of blackberries, which is his favorite treat. And so he wants to go out in the forest and collect more, but is really scared about the scary things out in the woods, in particular wolves. And so comes up with this idea to make a wolf suit to be able to go out in the world and explore safely. And there's all sorts of funny things that happen. I just thought it was a really clever and interesting and different, unique book. So when I saw that there was a new book coming out by the same author and illustrator, Sid Sharp, I picked up a preview copy of it very quickly and have been holding off on reading it until this month because I like to read things closer to the release dates. So the new one is called Bog Myrtle and is about two sisters, one who is super cheerful and kind, one who is always kind of grumpy. And they live in this old house together with some little spiders that share the house with them, as many people do. And one day, Beatrice, the cheerful sister, decides she wants to make a present for her sister. She wants to make her a nice gift that'll help cheer her up. So she goes and gathers some things from the woods that she thinks she can trade in at the yarn shop. She's hoping that these like twigs that she's gathered and like little wings of a cicada, I forget what else she gets that is her treasure. Oh, a beautiful stone that she finds in a pond. She finds all these little treasures in the forest and brings them to the local yarn shop and wants to buy some yarn with them. But of course, the yarn shop owner is like, no, like this isn't how I do business. And so Beatrice goes back to the woods to return the things that she had taken from the woods. And when she gets there, she meets a giant forest spider named Bog Myrtle, who Beatrice manages to win over with her love of the forest and her respect for the forest and the treasures within. And Bog Myrtle is really into sustainability and decides to gift Beatrice some magic yarn that Beatrice and the spiders make this perfect sweater out of that she gives to her sister Magnolia. And Magnolia is happy at first, but it turns out that with this perfect sweater, she sees an opportunity to make money and ends up turning their house into this like magic sweater factory where they're sort of abusing the spiders, making them create product for Magnolia to sell and make money off of. And this doesn't please the spiders and also does not please Bog Myrtle. And so it's a little folktale about this whole scenario. And so I don't know. It was very different than the other book, The Wolf Suit, but it had similar sort of comedy and quirkiness. And the illustration style is obviously similar. And yeah, I really enjoyed it. I hope people will read it. It's one of those books where it's different looking, the style of it. And as I was saying, how it's like not, it's a graphic novel, but it's not visually immediately a graphic novel. So I could see people looking at it and not thinking it's quite what they're looking for. But I hope people will read it because it's really fun and clever and funny. So that is Bog Myrtle by Sid Sharp, and that comes out on October 8th. So people can place their holds and get ready to read that. Don't think you'll regret it. And you can check out The Wolf Suit by Sid Sharp as well, which is already on the shelf here at the library. But there are so many books coming out this month that sound really amazing. I don't know. I feel like there's always books coming out that sound really good, but this month there were like a particularly large number of books that just sounded really interesting that are coming out for middle grade readers, which is the age group that we sort of focus on this show, I'd say the most. So I thought I could read a couple descriptions of ones that I thought sounded particularly good that are coming out on the early end of this month. So they should be on shelves now or coming soon, depending on when the libraries get their copies in. So you should be able to place your holds on all of these. So let's see. I'll start off with Boy 2.0 by Tracy Baptiste. And I know I've read other things by Tracy Baptiste, and there's also books that I've had my eye on by Tracy Baptiste that I would like to read. I don't think I've read any of their chapter books. I've read some of their picture books, but they have Carnival Chaos just came out last month, and The Jumbies is one of their popular books. They also have a picture book about Jumbies, but this one is Boy 2.0. And here is the description. An action-packed superhero story from New York Times bestselling author Tracy Baptiste. Wynn Cole Keegan has just landed in his latest foster home with a big, noisy, slightly nosy family named the McKays. They seem eager to welcome Cole, but he's wary of trusting them. So he doesn't tell them that he went for a walk with chalk in his pocket to cover a nearby street with his art. He doesn't tell them that a neighbor found Cole drawing, pulled a gun on him, and fired it. He doesn't tell them the police chased him. And he definitely doesn't tell them that when everything went down, Cole somehow turned invisible. But he did. Now he has to figure out how. Is he a superhero? Some kind of mutant? A science experiment? Is that why he has no family of his own? As Cole searches for answers and slowly learns to control his invisibility, he turns to the McKay kids and friends, both new and old, for help. But they soon discover they're not the only ones looking for a black boy with superpowers, and the situation is far stranger and more dangerous than they ever could have expected. But I thought that sounded really fun, mysterious, adventurous, and interesting story. I'm curious, what is the origin story? So we get a part of it in that description, but what is the mystery of his superpowers that we don't know yet and that he doesn't know yet? So again, that's Boy 2.0 by Tracy Baptiste.
That sounds like a very good book. Is it like recommended for middle schoolers?
Yeah, it's recommended for grades 4 to 6, ages 9 to 11, so right around your age group. So maybe that's one that you'll pick up, check out. I know that in the past you've had some interest in superhero stories. I know you've written some yourself.
Yeah, it sounds like a good book.
Yeah, I'm excited for that one. Definitely check it out. I have one here that's for a slightly younger audience. So there's a new book called Stella and Marigold, which is by Annie Barrows and Sophie Blackall. Annie Barrows is the author, Sophie Blackall is the illustrator, and they're the duo behind the Ivy and Bean books, which are very popular. So this is a new series from them, the opening book in the new series. And this is suggested for grades 2 to 3, ages 7 to 8. But I'm gonna read it too, so other ages welcome. And here's the description for this one. Stella, who's 7, is kind, a good storyteller, and ponders big questions like, what do animals think of people? Marigold, at 4, tells imaginative stories. Her mother calls them fibs and likes to wear her favorite Halloween costume year-round. Stella and Marigold do all the regular things, like going to school, playing, getting sick sometimes, and visiting the zoo. But even the most regular things have a secret side. Sure to delight fans of Ivy and Bean, these adventure tales, animated with full-color illustrations of the sisters' encounters with magical bathrooms, snow monkeys, dream lions, howling wolves, a lost vice president, and much more, are filled with vibrant characters, creative storytelling, and a whole lot of laughs. So I'm curious just from that description about what kind of adventures they have. Like, are they adventures of the imagination or are they magical adventures? I'm curious because it's hard to tell from that description of the different things they see. Like, what's a dream lion? And is the bathroom actually magical or is it they're using their imagination? And I love snow monkeys, so that's cool. They get to engage with some snow monkeys. So that's Stella and Marigold, a new series from Annie Barrows and Sophie Blackall. I'm very excited to check it out. I've actually never read Ivy and Bean before, but it's a very popular series. I've heard very good things about it. Someday I'll read it. And I won't read the description for this one, but there is a new Tegan and Sarah book coming out. So it's the second book in their graphic novel series, and it is called Crush. And I'm blanking on what the first one was called. Was it middle school? Oh, junior high. It was called junior high. Close to middle school, but not quite. So their first book was junior high, or their first book for this age range. They've written some other books, both for adults and for teens. But their first book in the series was junior high, and the second is called Crush. And this is the graphic novel series. It's sort of like the Best Friends series or the Raina Telgemeier books. Well, the Raina Telgemeier's books are a little bit more memoirish, but it's based on their childhood and their stories and their life, but it's quite fictionalized. So it's technically fiction, but it's got strong connections to reality and their ex lived experiences. So again, that's Crush, the second book in the Tegan and Sarah graphic novel series for middle grade readers. And that's out currently as well. I have another sort of adventure book to highlight. And again, it's the first book in a series by Kwame Mbalia, who did the Tristan Strong trilogy. And this one is called Jax Freeman and the Phantom Shriek. And here is the description. What do you get when you combine Kwame Mbalia's incredible imagination and world-building talent with trains, history, and ghosts? Nothing less than middle-grade magic. On his 12th birthday, Jackson Jax Freeman arrives at Chicago's Union Station alone, carrying nothing but the baggage of a scandal back in Raleigh. He's been sent away from home to live with relatives he barely knows. But even worse are the strangers who accost him at the train station, including a food vendor who throws dust in his face and a conductor who tries to steal his skin. Ooh. At his new school, Jax is assigned to a special class for summoners, even though he has no idea what those are, until he accidentally unleashes an angry spirit on school grounds. Soon, Jax is embroiled in all kinds of trouble, from the disappearance of a new friend to full-out war between summoning families. When Jax learns that he isn't the first Freeman to be blamed for a tragedy he didn't create, he resolves to clear his own name and that of his great-grandfather, who was a porter back in the 1920s. By following clues, Jax and his schoolmates unlock the secrets of a powerful praise house, evade vengeful ghosts, and discover that Jax may just be the most talented summoner of all. A unique magic school fantasy from the best-selling and award-winning author of the Tristan Strong trilogy has just pulled into the station. Choo-choo. The description doesn't say choo-choo, I just do. I thought that sounded fun and adventurous, and it's interesting to have a little historical element mixed in there too, like when books do that. So again, that is Jax Freeman and the Phantom Shriek by Kwame Mbalia. But I also have not read the Tristan Strong trilogy books, but they sounded really good. They always had really cool covers, as does this one. And I think fans of that book and other speculative fiction stories will find this entertaining. And I'll share one more that I don't think is a good book for me, but I think is a good book for a lot of young readers. I'm not a young reader, and I haven't had a dragon phase. So I think, as you'll see from this description, it'll be great for people that love dragon books, like Wings of Fire or Aragon or Skandar. All right, here is the description of this book. It is called The Last Dragon on Mars. It's by Scott Rankin. And it's the first in the Dragon Ship series. Keep your eyes down and your feet moving, or this planet will rest you. That's what Lunar Jones tells the other kids at the relocation clinic. All of them were born on Mars, a planet that never wanted people in the first place. With resources scarce and hope even scarcer, it's easy to get distracted looking up. After all, their ancestors descended from the stars. Martian history always starts with Earth. The first astronauts discovered that space was already occupied, not by little green men or flying saucers. It was full of dragons, one for every moon, every planet, every star. When humanity discovered that Earth's dragon had sacrificed herself to make their home planet habitable, they set their sights on Mars. If one dead dragon could breathe life into a world, why not create another one? Mankind won the war that followed, but with one catch. As the dragon died, he whispered a curse over Mars. The first settlers found their crops wouldn't grow. Animals hunted them, storms raged endlessly. It took three generations to figure out the truth. Mars was doomed. Lunar knows all the old stories about dragons and space, but no one up there is planning to help him or his crew. Instead, he focuses on scrapping valuable gear that the storms uncover in the war zone. Until one day, a salvaging run goes wrong. Desperate to find shelter, Lunar goes underground in a restricted zone. What he finds there, buried in the Martian dust, might just be the only hope left for a dying planet. That does sound very interesting. I don't know why I'm skeptical about dragon books. And don't let Amelia hear me say that, because she would be very upset. Big dragon fan, or was at least. But yeah, I don't know what they're going to find underground. Is it a dragon? Perhaps. Something related to dragons. So there's not too much dragons in the description, aside from the history of the planet. But presumably, they will emerge and be part of the story. But that, again, is The Last Dragon on Mars by Scott Rankin. And suggested for grades 4 to 6, ages 9 to 11. And this, along with the other books that I mentioned on today's show, are all out in the world as we speak. And definitely check those out if they sound interesting to you. You can find them at your local library or your favorite bookstore or wherever you get your books. Those are going to be the ones I highlight for today. There's actually more that have already come out this month that I'm excited about, but our show only goes so long. I feel like it's just about time to say goodbye. Before we go, is there anything else you wanted to share, Fatia, or any thoughts on those books?
No, but those books might be very interesting.
Yeah, I think they all sound really great. We'll see which ones I actually get around to reading. I'm actually reading a book right now that comes out next week as well that I'll talk about more once I finish it. But I just started reading the new Katie the Cat Sitter book. I think it's called The Perfect Plan, and it's book number 4, I believe, in the series. That's a great graphic novel series by Colleen A.F. Venable that I really have loved so far. And I'm just a little ways into the new book. So I'm going to hold my review until next week. But yeah, for those that are also fans of that series, you might want to place your holds. Get ready for it, because it's coming next Tuesday, release day. But yeah, otherwise, we hope everyone out there listening has a great week filled with lots of quality reading time. And we'll be back next week to talk about some more books. Until then,
happy reading!